This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
What is going on with this world, I guess, is the question. There is essentially a culture war that has stemmed out of the Lindsey Clancy trial. I didn't expect this. Honest to God, I thought this was going to be kind of a passing trial, not a ton of attention, but some of, you know, from folks who are in the true crime community. Wow, was I wrong. Lindsey Clancy's defense told the jury she killed three children. The prosecution agrees. Both sides, same fact. However, thousands of people on the internet had decided prosecution's wrong and the defense is wrong. They know better. It's something nobody sees. Nobody. They're just inventing shit. And a lot of people are believing it. How did we get here? Why are we here? That's what this episode is about. We're going to dive into this in three different chapters as we discuss the Lindsey Clancy situation. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, is with us, as well as Robin Dreek, as always, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Let's start. Both the prosecution and the defense agree. Lindsey is the one who did this. Her own attorney conceded this at the opening. Siobhan, how does someone watch this and decide that's a lie?
You know, this is an intensely disturbing case, right? Children dead, killed by mother. Mother admits it. This hits everybody, I think, in that amygdala, that emotional part of the brain. Mm-hmm. And people want a monster because we like these nice, simple narratives, you know, with the good guys and the bad guys. And this is not a case where you have a monster.
Yeah.
If you think critically and you analyze the facts, which I think are in front of us, the mental illness piece, it's not disputable. But people aren't thinking critically, and they're in their amygdala. They're not in their thinking brain. They're incapable of, you know, analyzing what has been proven here and what is false. And it's become this almost cult-like war, these teams. And I mean, I know there are people like us who are looking at the evidence and trying to put things together and taking notes and being careful in how we give opinions. But this amygdala-driven rage where people are projecting their own histories onto, you know, I do see that there's this trend now, particularly on X, and which I don't really follow, but it's been pointed out to me a lot, where men are going after Lindsey as the monster that they want to see tortured and killed. They don't understand mental illness. And a lot of women now are going after Patrick, that Patrick is this evil, malevolent monster that drove Lindsey crazy and somehow managed to kill everybody and throw her out the window. You know, and it's crazy. It's crazy. But in truth, both sides are exactly alike in the process of what they're doing. And when you ascribe malevolence to a monster, anybody that doesn't support that side, they become a monster too.
Yeah.
And so it's not just we have a difference of opinion, it's you're evil too. Mm-hmm. And so while the case testimony, of course it's emotional. Of course it's disturbing. We feel upset about it. But what has been really even more disturbing to me is watching this war go on where people are saying such incredibly vicious, vicious things about Lindsey and about Patrick. And in truth, this is a case, there is no monster. It's mm-hmm. like Lindsey's brain was broken. Copious amounts of evidence about that. It's not in dispute if you understand anything about mental illness or psychology, which mm-hmm. shouldn't be that hard to do a bit of reading and understand it. And we talk about it all the time as other podcasters are talking about it, but people don't care and they're not listening to the evidence. So I don't see Lindsey as a monster. Her brain is broken. She did a monstrous thing. She acknowledges it. She wants to be dead. Because yeah. she regrets it so much. Patrick, I think, did his best. I'm giving my whole diatribe here, but yeah. But, you know, families do not know how to manage mental illness. And no. That kind of severe mental illness. They're not equipped. They don't know what to do. And to then turn Patrick into the monster because, oh, he wasn't supportive. I mean, we heard from her mother. Her family was supportive. Patrick was supportive. But the big flaw here was the incredible lapse in the treatment providers. And that well documented. And yes, I was telling Robin earlier, I definitely, you know, got my 26 legal pads full of data now. This could easily be another book if I wanted to punish myself by writing a book, which books are not fun to write. So
yeah.
I don't know that I'll go there, but I'll be putting more on Substack because that's kind
of... Yeah, I love your pieces on Substack. And Siobhan, Tony and I talked at length about some of the causes and reasons behind the emotional breaks, the amygdala hijacking that's going on in society. And some of it, like, you know, from evolution of our species, you know, we are very good for our survival. We have to make quick judgments, quick assessments, and react quickly for our safety to preserve life. And so you can see snap judgments coming in. But you would think over the evolution of our species, those kind of snap judgments without critical thinking would have been flushed out because that's when stupid happens. That's why I was drawing comparisons for everyone this morning. That this parallels, you know, I mean, just think about this. Years and years ago, if Lindsay had done this, she wouldn't be on trial and psychosis wouldn't be being argued. She'd be being exercised for the evil demons that were possessed her body because when we don't understand something, we make up stories and make up fables. And since no one understands this, they're making up all these amazing stories, you know, just like they don't understand thunder and lightning, so we're going to invent the god Thor. You know, all these things is exactly what we do. What's preventing people from taking a breath and taking in more data and information? It just doesn't make sense to me where people will lock on so rapidly and not let go. It's like a bulldog bites down and they absolutely refuse to let go of these crazy, non-cognitive, non-thoughtful, non-critical thinking opinions. And again, critical thinking, interrogate your opinions, interrogate someone else's opinions. That's it. That's it. Just interrogate it. Just question it. What prevents people from doing that? You would think as an evolutionary evolved species, we would do that, but we're not.
Yeah, you know, when we talk evolution, it's tricky because I don't think we've all evolved to the same degree.
And different paces for different people, it seems. Yeah.
We locked the nutters up in a cave and let them live.
Yeah, you know, what I see going on, there's a lot of projection. And so one of the things that is happening, at least for some of the folks, is that Lindsay becomes every woman that's ever done me wrong, every manipulative woman, every dangerous woman. And now here's a place to target all my emotional baggage. And so it feels good to vent this rage. You know, people can get addicted to venting rage, which is super unhealthy. But I think that's what we're seeing. And then for not every woman, but the people who are involved in this tribalism, every abusive, narcissistic, unkind man that I've ever been involved with, here's my chance to vent the rage at Patrick. So it's this affectively, this emotionally driven process, which is so intense for people. And then they get online and they reinforce each other and they you know, go into the tribal identity. And it really is almost cult-like. It's like we identify with our tribe now. So don't confuse us with the evidence because they're just not interested
Do you see it as an indictment against the mental health of our nation as whole that you're unaware of? I mean, I'm seeing every now and then you see a red flag here and a red flag there with someone who's a little deviation, you know, from the norm. But as I said yesterday, is it more than I was ever expecting? Because if they're treating this case this way and people in their lives like this, they're most likely treating a lot of other people in their life the same way, where they're jumping to rapid conclusions, causing a lot of drama, causing a lot of hate and discontent in their lives. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, I definitely see that. And I don't know that if our country is any worse than any other country, because I think it's just probably a flaw of the human thinking process, the motivated reasoning, right, where you have a strong opinion and then you interpret everything through the lens of that emotional opinion. You know, you're just not capable of thinking critically about it. But it's incredibly toxic. And as I say, yeah, watching all the evidence is disturbing, but watching this stuff is what makes my heart pound. And it also reminds me of QAnon, you know, when the crazy stuff going on.
I forgot about that. I wonder how many people are going off the rails here on this case and inventing things and going down these conspiracy routes are also the same folks who were involved in QAnon beliefs.
Would not surprise me.
Correlation or some
other. It doesn't take much.
I'm going to say there might be a string to cross on the evidence wall between those two. I want to talk for a moment about this, the projection that so many people seem to be doing here. And I get it in many cases. I get people looking at some of these characters we talk about, particularly when we're talking about like a narcissist, a borderline, a real toxic human being like Corey Richens, for example.
She's such an easy example.
Or, I mean, Lori Vallow, she's just nuts. But there's tons of horrible, narcissistic, monstrous women that we've talked about on this show, and men. I get almost excited to talk about them because I have personal experience with borderline personality. And yes, it's therapeutic to be like, wow, let me just unleash all this on you. But this is not that. She's not this woman that's this horrific, crazy. She doesn't have a track record of anything.
No.
There's no like months leading up to this of her trying to poison the husband or the children or a thousand other narcissistic crazy shit like Corey Richens had, where like the evidence is there. Yes, that is that monster. And same with Patrick. There's no evidence that he's this like selfish, narcissistic husband. People are jumping on this fact that the mother was there. She had actually, the grandparents were at the house helping take care of the kids. He went on a business trip to New York one time. Holy shit, he must be cheating on her with some mistress. And there's no evidence to that. Yeah. And then they go to, well, he was married 4 months later. No, he wasn't. You're making that part up too. It was 3 years later, you idiots. Yeah. But the thing is, the facts come in, they absorb them, and then they become truth. And even if the facts then are presented as not truth, you're wrong. This is misinterpretation. This is just you taking facts from someone who's not giving you facts, but you already landed in those being real. And so they still sit there and they just keep repeating shit that they know is factually wrong. I don't understand. I guess I got kind of a tangent there. What my point is, I don't understand people projecting their shit onto these characters because they don't match the characters that people are trying to project their shit onto that one would think would be those people. There's plenty of people to do that with. These are not them. Why are people doing that?
Yeah. It's this non-rational part of humanity, you know, and I think we can look at everybody, including us at times when we're emotionally driven and not rational. But most people, I think healthier people, can take a breath, step back, and say, okay, why am I so upset here? Let me analyze this. Let me calm down and get my thinking brain in. But humans, you know, a lot of them, they're just not very good at using that thinking brain, and the evidence doesn't matter. Somebody wrote something on Facebook the other day that was very easily disproved and was factually incorrect. And I said, okay, take a breath, be calm, just speak in and correct and say, no, here's the fact. I could not believe the reaction just from that one person, but clearly enraged at me because then not only is Lindsay, I mean, pure evil, if you try to say, but here's a fact, you become the enemy and you're purely evil too, which is crazy.
I want to just point out, somebody made a comment there and they were trying to connect the dots here on why people went to the, because people say, well, he's dating 4 months later. Again, that's pure internet conjecture. There's no fact that says that anywhere. And let me throw this into the ether. And let me also address this quickly. People who jump with the words, no one can...
Wrong. Mm-hmm. You're just wrong. Mm-hmm. No one can get a divorce that quickly. I've gotten divorced in a month. I've gotten divorced within a few months. I've done it twice. Fast. It can be done. It's not an impossibility. So when people throw this shit, no one can do that. You're just fucking wrong. Mm-hmm. No, they can. They can easily. But that's not what we're even talking about. And let me riddle me this. The man's been through hell. The man's family was annihilated. His wife did this. He's trying to figure out what to do going forward. Yep. Heaven forbid the man finds a member of the opposite sex that he's attracted to and a relationship forms and they become close and it becomes romantic. Heaven forbid he have someone in his life to help him navigate that shit show because Julie in Ohio is mad that she got rejected on Tinder the other day. She's going to go, well, he shouldn't have that happiness because I don't. That's essentially what I feel is happening here. The man who went through hell found happiness at some point 3 years later, by the way, for the actual marriage, and the world thinks, well, that's too quick for me. What the fuck is that?
That's self-radicalization.
Yeah, it's crazy because when a person has been wounded to the degree that this man was wounded, which, you know, I don't know that any of us can imagine how awful that wounding would be. I mean, to lose your entire family in such a horrendous way. And of course, he's going to have self-blame. And of course, this is going to be the worst thing he ever lives through in his life.
Yeah.
We all, when we go through a trauma, we need comfort. We need people who are going to help soothe our nervous system. And to, even if he met somebody 3 to 4 months later who was comforting, who was soothing, maybe started as a friendship, developed into love. I say that's a beautiful thing. That's a
gift.
It's certainly what I did 6 months after back in 2004 when my husband did the horrendous suicide.
Yeah.
I was broken and I met my current husband who was so kind. And
yes,
so
he is.
Soothing.
We all met him. He is a soothing, you know, it's so funny you brought that up. Not funny, but just unique because we all met your husband at Tony's wedding. And I got my goosebumps going because he is a soothing soul. I mean, just being around, he literally, the way he moves, the way he interacts, you can see what the magnetism there was. It was a soothing soul because he's just one of those people in life that gives comfort just by presence.
Comfort.
So time periods don't matter. It's what you need in those moments.
Yeah.
Is that a big projection on a lot of people, just their own unhappiness with their own partner? And how dare he find happiness? I don't know. I didn't even get why anybody's mad at him for finding happiness after this. I mean, and then people saying, well, he could have done more. I'm sure there's 1,000 things he wishes he would have done differently.
Can you imagine?
But you know what? You be in that situation and tell me how you would have acted better. You know, it's just, I don't know. It seems it's very deeply rooted in a lot of people, this unhappiness that I feel a lot of people really have. And I guess maybe that's what's surprising about this is just how deeply, viscerally this is affecting so many people in very weird ways.
Yes. Very sad. Is what it is. It's tragically sad. You know, every time I see someone reacting and saying some really batshit crazy stuff, you know, I don't get angry. I'm like everyone else, not everyone, but these pockets of these self-radicalization people, because from all the cases that we've covered, Tony, you know, like assassination attempts, you know, like the Charlie Kirk assassination attempt, that guy was self-radicalized because he had these thoughts. He projected these thoughts, groupthink started, and they start escalating like this with the anger, the rage, and finally lack of problem-solving skills. I'm going to do it. You know, and that's how self-radicalization happens. These echo chambers of crazy just go. But being able to really think through it, talk through it, if everyone just got a little bit more curiosity going, if you hear something that sounds like you either super agree with or even if you're super against, let's interrogate that information. Let's take a deeper look at that. What's that based upon? You know, every time I have an emotional response to everything, you know, one thing I started doing in the FBI, I found that if I got an emotional response to something, hey, here's a great experiment. It's time for a science experiment. Let's see what I observed that gave me that emotional response. And let's start interrogating whether it's based on fact, data, or my own emotional hijacking. What's my understanding of myself? There's so many questions you can start asking before you start jumping to conclusions. Mm-hmm. So just get curious. Gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your thoughts in the comment section as we continue our conversation about Lindsay Clancy. The links are in the description. We'd love for you to continue the conversation there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ETHOS.com. Application times and rates may vary.